I really just truly fell in love with it, and I was already, you know, kind of that, you know, bookworm nerdy kid that loved nature and loved finding out as much as I possibly could. And when I got to the ocean space and this immense diversity and just vastness of this alien landscape came into my life, I just held on to it and I never turned back.
Can you describe for us what it was like when you saw the reefs?
So the Great Barrier Reef is the crown jewel. These are some of the most spectacular places in the world, and some of these reefs are the most lively, bustling places I've ever been in. It's euphoric. But at the same time, I've had this opportunity to see some incredibly tragic events happen underwater, and you can watch these colorful and lively places transform into absolute nothingness in a matter of 2 months, and that is excruciating. It's also extremely important to be able to share that with the world. To see that fall apart makes it personal, and I think that's how we move forward and start to solve some of these issues.
How long ago was the first time that you saw a reef?
It's probably 8 years old. I would have been on the Big Island of Hawaii. So that's really where my first connection with coral started and my love and infatuation. And I've been diving ever since as a job and as a hobby and as a passion.
Have you been back to that first diving site?
I have, but I haven't been back in a long time. And I would fear the worst for when I do make it back there. They are unlikely to be what they used to be.
The term coral bleaching, what does that really mean?
So coral bleaching has gotten a really bad rap over the years, mostly because it's affiliated with death. And it's just simply not true. We termed it bleaching because these corals turn white. You begin to see their stark white skeletons underneath as their plants leave their tissue. And the plants are what give them these colors. But when that coral is white, it's actually not dead. These corals are amazingly efficient at what they do. They get rid of the plant because if they don't, they will die. It is actually a fantastic survival ship mechanism, bleaching. But it does not mean they're dead. They have relieved themselves of their main energy source, their main food source. And so given a month, they essentially starve to death. And that's when you start to see death, which so many people attribute this term bleaching to.
Coral bleaching is the first step to death?
Yeah, to a certain extent. It is the corals trying not to die. Without it, we likely wouldn't have corals on this planet. It is the mechanism that keeps them alive and allows them to cope with short-term stress. The issue is, now in today's world, the stresses have become so frequent and are becoming more and more intense that now it's becoming very scary, because not only can they not make it through the events and the bleaching is not enough, it's also happening at a pace that they no longer can replenish themselves after a mortality event.
Some corals went dayglow.
So there's also this phenomenon of fluorescing. In the same way that bleaching is really a last-ditch effort to survive, fluorescing also acts as that. It's the true last-ditch effort. With their food source gone, these corals are limited in the energy that they can expend. With a fluorescing coral, these corals are under stress, and they've now made an active decision to take all remaining energy and put it into basically a sunscreen to protect itself from UV that's affiliated with the heat. And it's one of the things that makes me kind of optimistic. Looking into the genetics and all of the biology behind these events and how corals are coping, how can we replicate some of these things that we've seen success with in the field?
Are you able to cultivate them in some sort of a farm or?
There's a variety of research that's actively ongoing, particularly with this notion of pushing corals forward, or even kind of as we call assisted evolution. We want to find out why this coral here, in a world of dying corals, why did you survive? What about you makes you special? Why are you different from everything else, and what is helping you? And let's try and cultivate that to the best extent. And there's coral restoration that goes on all over the world, farming underwater, and then the notion of replanting those back on the reefs, which we learn a lot from it. Is it a solution to the problem? Probably not. It's like saying we're going to replant all the trees in the Amazon. The scalability is probably not there, but the educational component that we gain from this research is invaluable.
Can you talk about the analogy between marine and terrestrial ecosystems?
Trees terrestrially act much the same as corals do underwater, but our planet is 70% ocean. There is much more life underwater than we even know exists in today's world. And when we lose those reefs, you're pulling the rug out from underneath an enormous system that so many people rely on. And then that really scary thought that we could be losing that ecosystem because we're removing that foundation.
And how will that affect the Earth, life above the water?
Everything's interconnected. Anything you affect on this planet works together, and everybody has a consequence. There are 500 million to 1 billion people on this planet that actively live on coastlines that are reliant on coral reefs. It puts a house over their heads, it feeds their family, it gives them an income. If we eradicate this ecosystem, you're talking about an enormous number of climate refugees that can no longer live where they are now. That leads to civil unrest. There are all these consequences that are indirect but will eventually come back to anybody on the planet. These are some of the best wave-breaking mechanisms. It protects our shores from big waves. You lead to more erosion. All of these different little variables that can be a consequences will become reality if we continue at the pace we are removing coral reefs from this planet.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
We need to change ideology and make these things no longer a sacrifice. We have to make this economically beneficial. We have to make it psychologically beneficial for people, and we don't want to force people into things that actually comes off as not worth their time. We have to redefine how we communicate these issues and how we frame the changes that need to be made.